Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Coach Bartley. I am your host, Anthony Bartley, and welcome to another wonderful edition of Game Talk. I just want to let me get my disclaimer out early. I want to get this over with, so my thoughts, views, and opinions are not there of the WFA or any other league that I am affiliated with. So now that I got that out the way, let's get down to business. Tonight is actually going to be another panel discussion. Consider this part two of last week's show. And our main topic of our show is why is women's football at a standstill? You know, and what can be done in order to improve or better women's football? So I'm actually not looking for any special guests, but I am leaving the lines open for all those who want to share their thoughts and views on women's football and where it needs to be. And just to kind of give you guys some updates real quickly as to what's going on in the world of women's football, mainly pertaining to the WFA. Well, let's see. I'll start with the California Lynx. We have been very busy these last few days. We have actually secured our home field, which will be playing out of MaraCosta High School there in the beautiful Manhattan Beach, California. So pretty much after I get the whipping up on everyone, we can all probably go to the beach, have a bonfire, sing Kumbaya, and say thank God for women's football. So that's one big plus. The second thing is we've actually partnered up with one of the LCFL teams, the Patty LaBelle's League, the LaBelle Community Football League, the South Bay Skulls. And that organization, you know, coincidentally, they actually use the same home field as MaraCosta High School. And the reason why we partnered up with them is, one, we're looking to, you know, expand the entertainment of football, both for men and women. Two, that's a beautiful facility. I mean, man. I mean, for a high school, they got nice, brand-new Sprint turf. You know, everything is just very well lit, nice sound system. I mean, you're pretty much sitting next to the beach, you know, playing a Friday night or Saturday night game, and you got that wonderful ocean breeze, you know, just coming through. And third, being that they did hire me to be their defensive coordinator, that's just, you know, another advantage. The other item is that the California Lynx and the Central Valley Coyotes of Arena Football, too, have partnered up as well. And we partnered up in such a way as we will be doing an exhibition game against the Ventura Black Widows there in Fresno. So for those who want to have, you know, who want to come watch us play, you know, you're more than welcome to email me or give me a call. Or you can email me at headcoach16@yahoo.com. And I can give you more information as to what's going to transpire, or you can actually check my website daily for any future updates. This, again, it's an 8-man exhibition game, but we will keep it as close to 11-man rules as possible. So we won't be doing the crazy forward motions, you know, things of that nature. It's strictly 11-man, but with an 8-man setting. For some of you guys who do know and understand football, that, you know, hey, they do play 8-man football, you know, on the 11-man scale, so to speak. I know because I also coach at a local high school who's going to be playing 8-man football. So that's the haps with that. And again, we've partnered up with the Central Valley Coyotes. And this is going to be a good partnership. That team is actually ran by former Hall of Famer. You know, I wouldn't say former. You know, he's a Hall of Famer, retired ex-Raider, one of the great receivers, Fred Blinnikoff. His son, Junior, is the general manager and head coach. Good group of guys running that program, and they. And it's funny because we do, you know, it's a small world, you know. I know people, they know, you know. So, you know, we just kind of, you know, we kind of bonded together, you know. And they are real excited about working with us, and they are dying to see some women's football actually get out there and bang. So that's one of the big additions. As far as around the league, really not a whole lot happening. There are some things that are going on that I cannot reveal as of yet. Once I get the okay to reveal that information, then I will reveal that. Other than that, schedules are in place. Everyone is pretty much securing their home venues. We here in the West Coast, you know, being a Pacific Regional Director, I've had my owners online as we have our conference to lock down some things to try to help strengthen, you know, our division. One of the things that we've done is we're going to host the visiting team as they come in. So we figure the one thing we do want to do is, again, we're going to try to self-promote one another, and at the same time, we're going to look out for one another. So that's a pretty big step. I don't think anyone else is even remotely came close to doing something like that. I know this idea was brought up in the past, and I'm pretty sure it was shot down by several people. I happen to think it's a pretty good idea because this, in a way, it does lay off, you know, take away some of the burden of what you have to worry about when you travel. But on the flip side of the coin, it does add to some of the burden you got to have when you're putting on a home game. So it's like six in one hand, half in the other. But I'd rather do it for a home game than have to worry about getting all that stuff squared away while I travel. So that's pretty much what we got going. I know we're going to have our first league meeting as a league sometime in the beginning of February. I'm still waiting on the final date. To confirm that, that's going to be the big thing because, you know, as I get to, you know, meet some of the owners, you know, everyone still haven't had a chance to meet each other. So this will be a great way for us all to get together and really converse as one league. Now, other things we got going, like I said, it's just stuff that I cannot reveal right now. So. If you guys are wondering what it is, then just keep wondering. Eventually, it will be revealed, and it will come from me first before anything else. Now, let's get down to the meat and grits, this whole program. And I want to check and see who's all online. Do I have any callers on? Oh, no callers yet, huh? Very interesting. Well, let me just recap on some of the discussion that took place last week. Again, there was an incident where the SoCal Breakers they were looking for us. They wanted to scrimmage us, yeah, California Lynx. And you know, given you know this the differences between the two leagues. Of WFA and IWFL, the IWFL had a problem. They had a problem with the Breakers scrimmaging the Lynx. Like I said, word got out because, you know, there are people who got me under the microscope and they want to know what Anthony Bartley is doing with the Lynx. So word got out and they pretty much read my boys over there at the Breakers the Riot Act. So that pretty much fueled this discussion. And needless to say, there are quite a few coaches out there who do not agree with this, who think that this was wrong for them to even, you know, come down on the Breakers for that. And at the same time, it's just a matter of everyone really waking up and taking a stand for themselves. I mean, this is football. You know, this isn't countries battling countries. This isn't a war. You know, we are out here doing what we love to do. We don't get paid for this. So to be limited, to limit our players from learning and getting better to gain more exposure, it's a real problem. So that discussion, you know, it was a nice discussion that I had. Two coaches from the Binghamton Tiger Cats, the one, and I also had one of the announcers from Sports Geeks, Remy. He was online as well. So that was the whole click, the whole ball of wax, the main topic. And again, we're probably looking for some more callers too, you know, who want to share their thoughts and views in regards to this. Because again, this is a very touchy situation. This is something that, you know, people really need to just stand up and fight. You know, this is football. You know, we have got to get better. We have got to put out a quality product, and it's got to be done on all levels. You know, it just can't be done by one person and one person only. This isn't a one-man show. Everybody's got to pitch in on this. So, I'm looking for people to come and share their thoughts and views. And, again, I'm hoping that this message is getting out to the IWFL because, again, people have got to take a stand. And I know they got it out for me. I'm not even going to deny that. They definitely got it out for me. I don't care. Couldn't care less. If anything, that's going to help make this sport better, to put out a better product. So later on down the road, you know, the NFL does take recognition and we do get, you know, start getting paid for this, then so be it. But in the meantime, you know, these players are out here actually paying to play. So as far as I'm concerned, they should have every right to do what they need to do, what they feel is needed to get better. Same with the coaching staff, because these coaches are not getting paid. They're volunteering their time away from their homes, their jobs, when they could be doing other things. And you got people out here trying to regulate and control like Big Brother. I'm sorry, but this is not George Orwell. And until you start, you know, putting money in our pockets, as far as I'm concerned, you cannot control or manipulate and tell somebody what to do. So, with that being said, let's see here. Do we have any other callers online? No, not yet. Okay. Well, let's try to make this a question and answer session. I know I got a few people on, you know, on the chat boards here. So if you guys have any questions you want to ask me, if you got any thoughts or opinions, you know, definitely feel free to ask them. Now is the time. You can ask about the links. You can ask about the WFA. You can ask just about football in general. That now would be the perfect time. Because I know I'm expecting one caller to come in. I'm not going to mention his name yet. But I will have one caller coming in. And I trust and believe we all know this person. And we all know this person is going to definitely share his thoughts and views. So if anybody has any questions, again, feel free to ask. Going once, going twice. Wow, it's just dead quiet tonight. Wow. Well, trust and believe, ladies and gentlemen, it will liven up here shortly. Let's look at some other things that are going on. I know the Las Vegas Showgirls, they're actually doing a lot for that program. I talked to Deion Lee. Just about on a daily basis, trying to pick his brain to see what he's got going on out there in Vegas. I know besides battling the cold weather, they're actually doing well. I know they're going to be they plan on having a exhibition game against one of the indoor teams coming out of Northern Utah, the Northern Utah Avalanche, if I'm not mistaken. And they're going to make that transition from the 8-man to the 11-man just for that one exhibition game. Not like I said, not a real big deal. It's actually good because, you know, being that this is another women's league that, again, nobody knows about, this is a good chance for them to get a little bit of exposure. At the same time, this may be a good way of actually getting a Utah division into the WFA. That is something that hopefully we can definitely work on. I see that possibly happening within the next year or so for 2010. We're also looking at the Tiger Cats. They're still trying to solidify a game for their dome. Shoot, if I had the money, trust me, I would be flying to New York to play this game. Because to play in a dome, I mean, I've never played in a dome before, you know, better yet coach. So that would be cool, for something to do. So let's see here. Do we have any other questions? I just got this message here, but BJ, I'm not quite sure if you tried to send me a text message, but it didn't come through. Oh, this is interesting. Hello. Here we go. We missed what we were saying about the Patti LaBelle League. Okay. Well, just to kind of give you guys an update on the Patti LaBelle League or the LCFL, famous, award-winning singer, Patti LaBelle. She actually owns the league called the LCFL. It's actually two divisions, which actually are going to be expanding to three divisions here for 2009. They're going to have a South Division, then they got the Eastern Division, and then, of course, here on the West Coast. This league is going on five, six years strong. This is a men's division, and I know one of the things that I'm looking to do, and this is where, again, we need to unify and make women's football, a true national event, because this is something where, we can get someone like Patti LaBelle involved, because we need heavyweight such as that who's going to make a difference. And trust and believe when I tell you this, Patti LaBelle, she not only has a lot of great NFL names involved in the LCFL that pitch in and do a lot for these guys. I'll put it to you like this. The trophy, the national championship trophy that they have, is worth about $30,000. So you can just imagine, what's in store. Every year when they have the national championship, they put on a major event. This year they had it here in downtown, there in West Hollywood. They were at the Bonaventure, prime rib dinners, the works. I mean, just one big gala. Patti LaBelle pretty much paid out of her pocket for all the stuff. She also got, enlisted, a lot of support from, NFL players like Donovan McNabb, Terrell Owens, Sam Adams, excuse me. And there are quite a few other NFL names that are, heavily involved in this project. And the team that I'm coaching, the South Bay Skulls, are a part of the LCFL. But like as I said last week, there are some people with deep pockets who would love to take on such such a venture as this, but they won't do it if there's this constant segregation between the two. You know, everyone trying to scream whose league is, my league is better than your league. Well, I'm going to tell you this, and it may sound biased, but being that I'm in both leagues, I'll say this. Yeah, my league is better than your league. Why? Because we are not discriminating against anyone. We want everyone to participate. We want everyone to get better. So if I haven't said it before, I'm going to say it now. My league is better. The WFA is better just for the simple fact, and again, this is my opinion, just for the simple fact that we're opening our doors to everybody because we want unification. We want to make sure that we can get this product of women's football to where it needs to be. So now, anyone got anything they can say about that? If you have any thoughts, feel free because I'm starting it up. I am definitely started up. Now, do I have any callers on? Wow, okay. So I'm going to have to send a message out to this gentleman because he's running a little bit behind schedule here. So I hopefully that answered, you know, your questions in regards to the LCFL. You know, again, in fact, they just had their championship game and all-star game at my home field at MiraCosta High School, which, you know, again, that just speaks volumes, you know, and I know they're going to be in support of the Lynx. You know, you'll see a lot of my guys out there in their South Bay jerseys. You'll see my girls at their games supporting as well. So we're going to be doing a lot. Oh, and you know what? Gosh darn it, I forgot to mention this. And this is still in the works. So you can quote me on this, but I will know for sure probably within the next couple of weeks, you know, this if this will actually go through. But right now, percentages, I would say it's about 85% certain that it's going to go through. Well, the Lynx and the Skulls, which is my men's team, we're going to be doing a fundraiser with Pro Bowl quarterback Jeff Garcia. Yeah. He actually has a foundation called the Jeff Garcia Foundation, and we may actually be looking to put together a camp, a little mini camp, so to speak. And a lot of the proceeds, part of the proceeds would go toward, you know, the teams, and the other proceeds would go toward his foundation. But, again, it's one of those things where, you know, we're looking to gain some more NFL knowledge. You know, I'm going to surround especially my quarterback. I'm gonna have my quarterbacks if I follow him like they're a shadow, trying to pick his brain for every bit piece of information, you know, needed to improve their game. You know, and again, this is, you know, us getting involved not only with the community, but again, this is getting us some exposure. So once this deal, you know, goes through, you better believe there's gonna be a lot of media coverage on this because I want my girls out in the spotlight. And if you guys know your geography here in California, I know a lot of you guys, you know, knew that the Lynx were pretty much based in Orange County. Well, if you guys know, MiraCosta is L.A. County. So, yeah, I'm making that transition back to L.A. County. And just to kind of get everyone, make sure everyone is aware, I chose Orange County in the beginning because our intentions were to have the Amazons part of the WFA. But they decided to go the IWFL. Now, what does that mean? Well, I was going to stay in Orange County. I decided not to. Once I got the deal set up to where, you know, I can move back to L.A. County, Well, that's what I plan to do. My plan is to take over L.A. County. And I want everyone to understand that, yeah, I'm planning on making the Lynx a household name. You know, the Lynx will be the next household name next to the L.A. Sparks. Ah, have a... Oh, there we go. You gotta love it. Gotta love it. Next question. How do you feel about the league better screening their players so that they can get... How do I feel about the league screening their players so that they can get better players without all the drama? You know, I'm going to say this. No league should be, quote-unquote, screening their players. It kind of makes you feel like, you know, you're applying for the military, so to speak. So they do screening there. And those of you who served your country, they know what I'm talking about. Again, this is something where, you know, if a player wants to come out and learn, you know, they should have that right without having to be subjected to, you know, a whole bunch of questions and things of that nature. Like I said, that's kind of a tough issue because, like I said, I don't know too many. I haven't seen too many, you know, too many of the other leagues screening players. You know, that's kind of. I don't think anybody really wants to spend that kind of money to screen their players. To be honest with you, you know, I think that. And this is just my opinion. I think a player's registration is a little bit absurd. Well, not a little bit. It is absurd. I mean, it's bad enough players got to pay, you know, their teams to play. But to pay, you know, pay a registration fee, you know, that is kind of a little bit out there. You know, and they actually, even for the coaches, you know, again, this is football. They don't do it at a men's level, so why do we do it here in the women's level? You know, yeah, we want to be different, but if you look at it, the men, in the men's level, the fees are a lot cheaper, and yet they get more exposure. Question, you don't think the Patti LaBelle League screens their players? No, they don't. I can tell you that firsthand. No, they don't screen their players. Like I said, if you want to do a background check on a person, do you really realize how much that's going to cost? I mean, again, you got people paying to play. It's not like you're going for a job interview, you know, and they want to do background checks and all that. You know, companies, they got the money to do that. These leagues here, they're not, I mean, it's pointless to waste all that money on trying to screen, you know, screen a player, find out what their background is, when that money could be going to like, television exposure, newspaper exposure, you know, something that's more worthwhile, you know, and I'm throwing this out there because I'm hoping, you know, people get the message here, you know, instead of doing all these, player bonuses, well, actually, player bonuses aren't bad, but there still could be more done instead of depending on, you know, each individual team to have to go out and you know, have to publicize themselves. The league should be doing it as a league. If you look at the NFL, they just don't do one team. When people hear the NFL, they know it's all 32 teams that are affiliated with the NFL, you know. And so a lot of their commercials, that you know, you'll see all their logos flashing up, or you'll see their logos up on a back wall, you know, somewhere. But when everyone sees NFL and they see that NFL shield, they know it represents all 32 teams. So just imagine if someone puts out a national commercial and it represents your league. Do you realize how much exposure and notoriety that you will get? You know, I watched the little clip that the Quake got on Fox Overtime after the NFC Championship game. Yeah, that's fine and dandy, you know, but what does that say about your league? Because, in honesty, it doesn't say jack crap about your league. Question, what do you as a coach and as a, and an owner do to keep drama from getting out of hand with your team? Good question. As an owner, you know, you can kind of, you know, you have to be a good judge of character as to know who's going to cause drama, who isn't. You actually, you know, you try to surround yourself around with players, you know, especially in the beginning, and you want to kind of start off with a positive atmosphere, you know, and you just want to kind of keep it, you know, matriculating through and throughout each workout session that you guys are out there working out. Of course, you know, you're going to run into some issues where one player doesn't like another player. You know, I've seen that happen before. Sometimes you just got to sit them down as, you know, and play mediator. You know, I've had to do that several times. Does it work all the time? No, it doesn't. It's just human nature. These are adults, and as far as I'm concerned, why waste your money to come out there and bicker with someone who's wearing the same uniform as you? Doesn't make any sense. But as far as I'm concerned, to eliminate a lot of drama, you definitely want to try to keep a positive aura around your team. You know, everything's got to be pretty much upbeat and positive. You can't have any kind of negative influence whatsoever, especially in the beginning. Like I said, as an owner, you know, I have to be mindful of that. You know, I can't have any negative vibes around. Otherwise, it's like a snowball rolling downhill. You know, it's going to build that avalanche. It's just going to get bigger and bigger. So that's pretty much, you know, that the haps on that. You know, you just got to keep everything positive and upbeat. You know, person does something wrong, you know, you can't be, you know, and I know as a lot of us coaches, you know, we come from the old school where coaches, you know, real quick jump in your face, grab you by your face mask, and, you know, breath be stinking and be damned, and you know, you're like, damn, man, you need a Tic Tac or something, you know, but, you know, we can't do that, not this time, not in place. You know, we have to pretty much be more upbeat and encouraging as opposed to being, you know, just downright ornery and negative and, you know, trying to vent. Now, I know a lot of people, and this is what's so funny, a lot of people they classify me as irate, which I thought it was funny because I've never once have gotten ejected from a game or anything remotely close to it. You know, if, you know, I'm very passionate about the game, yes. Will I throw my hat in frustration? Yes, I will. Will I kick a down marker? Yes, I will. Not even close to what you've seen, you know, guys like Mike Ditka. Oh, man, he threw his clipboard at a play. Jim McMahon, as a matter of fact, well, back when he was coaching the Bears. Bobby Knight throwing chairs at the officials and things of that nature. I mean, you never see me do stuff like that. But, it's just one of those things that, you know, yeah, I'm passionate, and some people may take it the wrong way. You know, I pretty much tell my players right up in the beginning, this is who I am. You'll never see me cuss out a player. You'll never see me grab them by their face, smash, yank them around. Not like what my coach used to do back in the day when I dropped an interception or something. You know, he was a big man, so I'm literally off the ground as he got me by my face mask. So that again, you know, you just got to, you know, keep everything, you know, to a minimum. Now, I have one question. Is drama with the Women's Football League? Let's see. Is drama with the Women's Football League close? Is it close? Well, actually, yeah, it is. I'm sorry, there isn't any team that's not out there that doesn't have any kind of drama, even my team.
Yes, sir.
A little bit. Oh, my God, look who we got here.
Yes, sir.
I know that voice anywhere. Mr. Lee, how are you?
Oh, man, I'm doing great, man. Sorry I'm late. I was traveling 80 miles, and I had no phone in the car. I left my phone in my other car.
Big baller. See, the man got about three or four cars, and he can't decide which car he wants to take to work.
And you know this, man.
So, let's see here.
I'm just letting you know I'm here. So I missed part of the show, so you might have to update me and put me in a loop here.
Well, it's basically been a question and answer session. Just kind of updating everybody in regards to the league and what's going on.
Okay.
And real quick, do we have Mike on the line? Is there a Mike on the line? I guess not. Well, I figured, you know, now this is perfect because I would love to save the best for last. And last week's discussion, we were talking about how women's football is not progressing and why and what can we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, you've actually started to pave the way for something tremendous in to women's football and trying to put out a quality product. But in recent events, you know, that have transpired now, so you already heard, you have heard what happened between me and the Breakers.
Yes, I did. I heard about that last week on the chat boards.
And pretty much, I mean, I was pissed last week, man. You know, because
mm-hmm. Hold on one second. I'm at practice right now, so I'm trying to move to where I can be talked to. And it's freezing out here all night.
Well, like I told everyone earlier, you know, you're out there working out, freezing, you know, fighting the cold, and trying to figure out how you're going to, you know, stop me from my
right. Yeah, right. It's been like 65 degrees all week. And about 50 at night, it's down about 32 right now. And I got on shorts. So I'm about to go hit the car. I don't know what I was thinking about.
Now, let me ask you this question. I mean, how'd you feel about what happened, you know, last week in regard to the links and the Breakers working out?
Well, my thing is this. I've been around football for... I'm 38. I've been around football since I was 37 years. I'm a son of a coach, and I've been in the locker room, in the film room, since I was 6 months. And that's part of football. As football coaches, we want to get our product better or our team better. So scrimmaging, 7-on-7 passing league, all the things to step your game up, the things that you got to do, you know. I can even go back to high school. We played against teams that were in lower divisions than us or bigger divisions to get games in on weekends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't matter what league the team was in. It was 7-on-7. We were working on our passing game and our defense, and they were working on their passing game and their defense. You know, it was no hitting, no none of that stuff. But it's part of football, and that's what people got to understand. Those who have ran leagues in the past, from my previous experience, haven't gone through the experience of playing the game. I mean, I played through part one, I played through junior high, I played through high school, got a Division I scholarship and played football. So I played the game for a while. And in order to get better, you got to be on the field. And with ladies, we have a disadvantage because they haven't been on the field. So we need to be teaching all the time, every day. I mean, it's like a year-round activity for ladies to play football in order for the product to be very good all the way across the board. You know, we have to take it serious.
Let me ask you this. On a business standpoint, do you think it's wise?
wise
to restrict your players from getting better.
Oh, heck no. I mean, again, these ladies are one, not getting paid to play the game. You know, if I was in business and I'm a dentist or a doctor, I'm in competition with all the other dentists and doctors. And when there's a National Dentist Association conference, all of us competitors are there to find out the latest technology and the latest things in that particular field. And that's the same way with how I look at it when I put together the women's football camp and conference. I didn't care where you came from. I didn't care who you coached. You know, we had a list of all the top coaches in the country coming to this event that dealt with women's football. And I would say 85% of those coaches that was on that list showed up. We only had four that didn't show that was on there. So all the coaches have the same perspective. We want to get better. We want our product to better. And to deny the ladies to go or threaten to fine or threaten to kick them off the team because it's not a, quote, league sanctioned event doesn't make any sense, you know, especially when it's on their dime to go get better. You know, if I want to get a job and I need some skills to have that job, then I need to go through an apprenticeship. I need to go to an intern. I need to do the things to get better, to sharpen my tools so that when I do get the job, I'm A-game. I'm top of the line.
So, I'm about to get down and dirty here. So why didn't you get it? How come you didn't get any support from the IWFL?
I didn't get support from any league, the NWFA, the IWFL, because it wasn't their event and it wasn't a closed event, meaning for those particular players only. You know, in my eyes, as an owner of a team, if the California Lynx ain't getting the job done and someone goes see it and then I try to talk them to come into my game, they're going to say, well, I went to the Lynx game and it was terrible. Your product, no matter what league you're in, represents every women's football team across the country, period. It don't matter what league. Because you only get one shot for somebody to come see you and say that's a great product. And that's why in the past it's been always said we want better matchups. Well, it's nothing about the matchups. It trickles down all the way from the organization being good to the coaches being good and dedicated and to the players being good and dedicated to the game. So, again, if you know, I'm using you as an example because you're on the phone, but if the Lynx product is no good and you got, you know, the NFL Network right down the street from you who say, you know what, I've heard about this women's football, but I'm not going to travel anywhere. I'm going to go see the Lynx play. And you get blown out, you know, 85-0, you know, it's a stereotypical game that people think that this women's football is all about. It's one-sided, that the women can't throw the ball, they can't block, they can't tackle, they get hurt. I mean, I hear the stereotype all the time until those particular people come to our game and say, man, that's some real football. I really enjoy myself there, you know. Because, again, my particular coaching staff, we stick to the fundamentals and we've been adding and adding every year to our package as far as what we're teaching. You know, we're not a simplex offense. You know, we run a spread option, and we had newspaper reporters and news reporters say, man, you guys actually pitch the ball. You guys actually throw the ball. Well, yeah, our quarterback led the IWFL in passing last year. You know, we threw the ball, and we had the second leading rusher in the league. You know, we're a balanced attack, and that's what people and fans have been interested in. And my thing is this, we still got plenty of room to get better and to improve. And that was the whole reasoning behind the camp and conference. You know, it was proposed to me that it was there to talk about the WFA. When we talked about this, it was no WFA. It was nothing like that. It was all about the product and about the ladies that are out there to get better. Because we as coaches know that there's a lot of weak points out there, you know.
If I'm not mistaken, the Tampa Conference was put together before there were even talks of the WFA, right?
Oh, yeah. Actually, the camping conference was talked about 2.5 years ago when I was in the WPFL. I had presented it to the board at that point in time. But again, when you got people who are running it, running organizations that don't understand football, they don't see the reasoning behind it. But then when it was put out there and they saw there was a price tag to come, then they start adding. And that's the problem with the game. You know, everybody wants to add money to a situation, which is legitimately the purpose. You can't do anything for free. Ain't nothing happen. You can't get a football field for free. So you got to cover costs. But that's what people are looking at. You know, I had comments like, well, Deion's only putting that money in his pocket. Well, nobody said how much money I put out to make it happen. You know, I lost money on that, but, you know, that's not the issue. The fact is that the camping conference happened, and what was promised was given. You know, different coaches giving their outlook on what football is all about, and we had a chance to learn from each other because that's what coaches do. We want to sit up there and talk X's and O's. We want to talk about, you know, what we do in practice or what we do to get better. You know, that's what coaches do. But the fact is, you got to make the product better, and the only way you can do it is if you get out there and make it happen. If you look at football in general, I know I'm sound like I'm taking over your show. I'm sorry about this, but, you know, I'm passionate about this situation. But as a kid myself, I had opportunities to go to football camps. It was encouraged from our high school kids. If you look at the high school game today, there's kids in high school going to every camp they can at every university. And every university strong program has a football camp. That's a recruiting tool for those camps, for those schools. And they offer scholarships to those kids who are in the 10th and 11th grade that went to the camp ahead of the other guys because they got to see them in person. You know, I used to run a recruiting service for high school students. I got over 65 athletes Division I football scholarships because it is an art. It is a craft, you know. And that's where women's football got to be able to see it, that this is an art and craft. If you don't want nobody to laugh at you and think that you are a joke, then you need to put in the work. That's why sponsors aren't coming to the door, because they have this stereotype of what women's football is all about. There's not 100 Jessica Springers out there playing football right now. There's only one. And she's the top-of-the-line best football player out there today overall. You know, I coached against her, and I seen her. You know, I talked to her at the All-Star game out in Atlanta in the WPFL. You know, that's the level of football that the ladies here have to take it. We got to start recruiting athletes that have ran track, that played volleyball, that have played softball, soccer. And I'm not talking about 15 years ago. I'm talking about right out of college. I'm talking about 24 to 30 years of age, not taking anything away from the elderly ladies out there. But again, as a sponsor, I mean, I'm not doing it for kicks and giggles, you know what I'm saying? If I'm going to sponsor this, the reason why I'm sponsoring it, because I see an opportunity for me to make money off of this. And that's how the sponsors think. There's no such thing as give me money and here you go. Every sponsor we have to prove to them that we are worth our weight in gold.
I've mentioned before, and I brought this up earlier, you know, yeah, there are people out there with deep pockets that would love to invest in a venture such as this. But when you got, you know, all this bickering going on, the segregation, they're not big to look the other way. Example would be the LCFL, you know,
okay.
League. I know for a fact if I could get her involved in women's football because, again, she's running a men's league, for crying out loud, and, you know, putting out all this money. But, you know, again, if she can do the same thing for women, and she barely even knows that, hey, there's a women's team right there, right up the street from her.
Right.
You know,
well, I mean, again, it goes back. I mean, trust me, I definitely praise those who got this movement started for women's football and the teams that are out there and teams that are playing. But, you know, in this industry, you got to take it to the next level. And if you can't do it, you got to pass it on to somebody who can. And that's been some of the holdback. You know, you got to realize how far you can take somebody. And I give you my life example. I was a manager of five of the top comedians in their early day. And I got them shows all over the place. But they wanted to be stars. I had to be humble and say, you know what? I can't take you to that level. Let me pass you on to somebody else that got some star power. You know, I was still holding on, but somebody else took over their career, and then they got into the movies, and they who they are now.
Okay.
You know, if I would have been selfish and held them back, say, no, I can do it, knowing that I can't do it, then I'm not doing it justice to my clients. And that's where women's football is.
Okay.
There have been people that have set the trend for the women's football and taken to this level, but can't get it over the next hurdle and are scared to allow others to input their ideas and concepts that know the game that might have the connections. And I happen to be one to have a lot of connections, but I'm overlooked, you know. So that's why I've moved on, because I've been asked several times, how come, you know, in 4 years, the Showgirls are playing in the third league, you know. We played 2 years. Go ahead.
Who do I have on line?
You just got Coach Lee, baby. That's all.
There's somebody else on line. Knock, knock.
Hit it.
Who's there? Okay, I guess they choose not to say anything. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
So continue.
I forgot where I was at, man. You know, like I said, I get to rolling on this thing because, you know, I'm passionate about the game of football, period. It don't matter what sex I'm pushing them in football. The fact is, once you play football, it's football, you know. It just so happened that I'm coaching women playing football, and I still have the same passion that I would if I'm coaching men, boys, or kids, you know. So the bottom line was, you know, I've been asked several times, how come we've played, this is our third league in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes you get tired of beating a dead horse, and you move on. You know, in the WPFL, I thought was probably the best league as far as talent at that particular time and had the best setup. But, again, you had people who were running it who didn't want to loosen a little control to allow others to come in. And I was go ahead.
Who do you think should better run a league? Someone with a great business sense or someone with great football knowledge?
Ouch. That's pretty harsh. You got to have the best of both worlds, to be honest. You know, I truly believe that 90% of the teams that are in existence are ran by people that are hobbyists, to be honest. Those who wanted the opportunity to play the game of football, not really getting into this as a business aspect. Again, going back to why I picked the WPFL, because it had the best options as an owner of a team. It didn't have a lot of limitations to what you can do as an owner to promote. It didn't have no profit sharing with the league per se, which is good and bad. But it had the best opportunities. And again, when you have people who have a concept, but they just can't move on it, they're not great business people because they feel that once you're told no, then you got to quit. You know, and that's one thing you're taught as a football player, never quit, never give up on any play because the play is going to come back to you, you know, as a defender.
That's
so
right.
You got to have that. That's why football is the ultimate life sport, because it takes a full team to make one play happen, you know. So that's what wasn't understood from the leadership of the leagues in the past and present. And that's why we're in the state that we're in now, because we need people that understand what football really needs. You know, you don't need to sanction a practice. You don't need to sanction a scrimmage. If you live across the street and we in a different league, that's who I want to scrimmage, because I don't want to give you all – I don't want to come play the L.A. team when I got them the first game of the season and I'm scrimmaging against them day in and day out.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because the bottom line is I want to win. And I'm not going to show all my tricks of the trade in my scrimmage against you. But if I'm playing against somebody who I ain't going to never play or never see, hey, I want to see if this double reverse pass work. I want to see if this quarterback can run the option. I want to see if this lineman can block. You know, if this person can play fullback. Can this person run the ball? But if I'm playing against you the first game and then I'm scrimmaging twice, I'm not going to show you my cards. You know, it's a strategy game. This is like chess. You know, you hold everything back into the game itself. Element of surprise. And again, leagues got to understand that. They got to come from a coach's perspective. You can't say this is a player's league, and then you eliminate the coaching aspect of it, and you do nothing for the coaches. You don't have any training for the coaches. You can't say that you're a league and your refs never get together and talk about rules and regulations. You can't say you're a league and you can't give no input from the ownership on some of the rules or input from some of the coaches. You're just making up stuff and you're chopping up a book that you got and you're adding it and calling it yours. And then it's hard to interpret the rules even from the ref point of view. They're like, hey, this is what it says, but I don't know what the heck it means. Because it has nothing to do with the NFL or the NCAA or high school regulated rules.
Exactly. Well,
you know,
I can tell you this much, and I'm gonna say this again, as I mentioned this last week. Everybody needs to wake up. I mean, seriously, freaking wake up. I mean, we've got to move on. We've got to really push forward and take this thing to a whole nother level. I'm sorry. I do not want to get beat out by no ridiculous-ass lingerie football league.
No, not even close. That's, you know, that'd be that's an insult. That's an insult.
It's not even real football, and yet they're getting more media exposure than we are, and that's a damn shame. So,
that'd be like a bunch of men going out there with their drawers on and playing football because they think it's sexy for the ladies, you know.
So,
it might have a niche market, but it shouldn't outdo the NFL.
Exactly. So my point is to every owner, every coach that's out there, you need to wake up. And as we draw this show to a close, I want to thank those who are listening out there. I want to thank Deion Lee, owner head coach of the Las Vegas Showgirls, for calling in.
Thank you, sir.
WSBN, the Women's Sports Ball Network, KLG Wigs, Adidas for, you know, them kicking in.
We got to take advantage of that, baby. We got to take advantage of that. That's what the Ning Board is all about. See, I got so much more to say. I am so sorry that I was 20 minutes to get on his phone.
That's what
the Ning Board is all about, baby.
We'll get you on for next week. And I also want to include GameWare. And again, shout out to, you know, my links and to my South Bay Skulls and everybody. Again, this topic is going to continue. I'm going to push this topic next week, and I'll probably push it the week after. So, everybody, you know, spread the word. Stand up and let's take women's football to another level. Let's quit being stagnant. Let's make these women in a true professional, you know. So with that being said, I wish everyone a wonderful evening. Be safe out there. Stay out of the cold. Deion, do whatever you have to do in order to get better.
Oh, we out here getting ready, baby. We out here doing our thing.
You know you're going to need it when you play me April 18th. So.
Hey, we got two scrimmages lined up, so we're going to be ready.
All right.
We're going to be ready. See, that's what coaching is all about, baby. You got to put the tools together.
There you
got to make it happen.
There you go.
BJ, you got to give us 30 more minutes on this show. What's going on? Let's get 30 more minutes.
You know what? For you, Dion, I'll see if I can get it for next week.
All right.
So with that being said, I bid everyone a farewell, and I look forward to hearing speaking to everybody next week on Game Time with Coach Barton.